All right. Well, joining us, he's a general manager of the Giants, and that's Bobby Evans. Bobby, good morning.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, how are you guys?
We're doing great. A beautiful, isn't it a beautiful day for baseball today? I mean, you know, I think the weather's been great, hasn't it?
No, we've been very fortunate. We're spoiled here. There's no doubt about it.
Well, Jake Peavy goes today. I want to get your thoughts about Jake Peavy's season and also going to next year, how you envision him in this rotation. Talk a little bit about Jake Peavy for us.
Well, Jake's really come on in this second half after having gotten over the back injury early in the season, and he worked hard through that rehab process, and he's been a huge help to us here down the stretch. Sorry, we won't be able to see him in October, but you know, for Jake, he's a leader in the clubhouse in many ways, just with his enthusiasm and his energy and his passion for the game. You see it on the mound, but you also see it in the clubhouse. You know, guys respect him, where he's come from, a former Cy Young Award winner, obviously a big part of our World Series last year and then with the Red Sox in 2013. So he's a leader. He's a veteran and a veteran presence. We're going to miss the veteran presence of Tim Hudson, so Jake will have all that much more of that leadership role next year.
Bobby, what does it hold perhaps for Ryan Vogelsong, Tim Lincecum, as you sit here today?
Well, as we get into the free agent market, we'll have to assess, you know, all of our options, and you know, we can't leave any stone unturned. There's no one way to cut it. I mean, we've got to go through, you know, the off season process, which is, you know, really a look back on the 2015 season, on the performance of guys that are free agents, our own guys, and our own farm system. You know, trade options. You just have to do your full gamut of work and ultimately make determinations about where guys fit.
You've said publicly about Marlon Byrd that you would like to consider having him next year. Any negotiations with him about that? When would you expect to make a decision on that?
Well, we've been in early discussions, but it's early. I mean, it's just hard to make off-season moves 2 days after the season ended. So there's a process we have to go through, and you know, that could result in a good timing. It could result in tough timing for us. We'll just have to see how it plays out. I don't feel like there's any need to rush. I mean, we've got a long off season ahead. There's a lot of things that come our way unexpectedly, some things that we expect, but many things that we don't expect, and we just need to be prepared to manage all those options and make the best decision possible.
Does Mike Leake fit into that timetable as well? Because maybe the free agent pitcher thing could be a little bit different. As I mentioned yesterday to you, you know, with the dominoes, you got to wait till the big guys fall. Maybe Mike Leake is someone maybe you could deal with a little earlier. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes timing can be an advantage to you, especially, you know, when a guy's been in your clubhouse, he knows what it's like and has interest. But, again, we still have to do our due diligence, and that does take some time. And Mike has to do the same. I mean, his representatives will have to look at the various options and scenarios. So I don't feel like that there's a scenario where we rush down any road right now. I think we have to, you know, the pace could be faster than usual, and it could take longer than usual. Just have to kind of let it start the ball rolling as we get into October, where we're not going to be playing postseason baseball, so we'll just begin making those preparations, which could be an advantage to us as we go into the free agent market or before it even opens.
All right, Bobby. On sports talk radio and in social media, you hear a lot about go after David Price, and you have to assume he'll be a nine-figure pitcher this free agent offseason. And I'm just curious, from a general manager's perspective, not many nine-figure pitchers work out. So does that make you a little trigger shy to sign that check to something that grand for someone as good, even as David Price?
Yeah, well, there's going to be a stiff competition for a lot of these guys. And you definitely have to look closely anytime. I think I take seriously contracts that are, you know, seven figures, eight figures, and even more so nine figures. They're all, you know, serious commitments. And you make one false move and you could pay for it for a number of years. So you want to be sure you do your due diligence. And I don't rule anything out, but I do recognize that those guys that are on the top of the market are going to have, you know, so much competition that it could take a lot longer. And, you know, there comes in the timing. You know, does that timing work for us? And we really want to hold out for one particular guy if we've got good options, you know, sooner.
Okay. Yeah, it looks like there'll be a lot of options. And interesting, last year, John Lester was an option, and you guys went up, reported $150, $160 million, ooh, whatever it was. So people are optimistic that this year you'll get in there and fight for one of these guys.
Well, again, there's more than one way to put the roster together, and I think we have to be strategic. I don't think we can get single-minded that it has to be, you know, a John Lester-type contract. I think we have to be open-minded to other options as well, and yet we can't close off, you know, the big contracts either. We just have to be open-minded. I think we have to be, you know, very careful about how we go through this process and not jump to any conclusions internally.
All right. Well, it's going to be fun. Honestly, it's your first really off-season being the guy, and I look forward to, you know, the updates from you, and I think we all have an open mind, and we all know that something should be done, and we can't wait to see what happens. So it should be a lot of fun for you. Matt Duffy wins the Willie Mack Award last night. You talk about projections of players. Did you ever project him to do this year?
I mean, how could we? I mean, you know, what we saw, you know, from him last season as a young player coming off the bench and doing so well, and then having probably arguably one of the best springs of any of our position players offensively, we probably could have expected more than we did expect. I mean, we looked at him as a guy who could play multiple positions for us and cover us in a number of different areas. And, you know, by the time May starts, he's our everyday third baseman, and now he's played in, you know, 100-plus games in a row and has put himself on the map in the Rookie of the Year vote, and now Willie Mack Award winner, which is the first time ever for a rookie with the Giants. I mean, what a great group of guys standing on that field yesterday, a great moment, a great exposure for the Willie Mack Award and what it means to the organization, and then for Matt Duffy to get it, again, voted on by his teammates. I mean, that's a huge, huge honor.
Yeah, it's awesome. It was great to see Mike Kruko out there and all the guys, the Willie Mack Award winners from past years, as you mentioned, Bobby. If Matt Duffy was one of the silver linings of 2015, do you have any regrets from 2015 coming into the season, or any things you wish you could do over, Bobby?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, I can't control, you know, where we, you know, we got Pence hit by a pitch in spring training, or Aoki hit by a pitch, you know, midseason. I mean, those are tough pills to swallow, but I wish we had the depth to, you know, more immediately cover for them. But again, we tried to build depth where we could. Some of the final moves, looking back, you know, I wish I could have given Boach a little more depth in the infield so that as guys, you know, needed rest, they could have gotten it. And at some level, you can look at, you know, Crawford's injury as a fatigue injury, which, you know, when you give him, has to go after every day because we don't have, you know, adequate backup shortstop, offensively, it puts him at risk, and ultimately we paid the price in losing him. And I think that's part of the theme for this offseason is just, you know, you're not going to necessarily get a high-end utility backup guy, but at least making sure that your farm system is as ready as possible to come fill in, you know, to give a break to these guys. And I think that's, you know, one of the priorities I'll be thinking about this winter.
Yeah, great point. Very well answered. I think we talked about that a lot on the shows during the year. Bobby Evans with us, the general manager of the Giants. Bobby, Kelby Tomlinson, I know he's in the instructional league for a couple of weeks. What will he work on, and how do you envision him? What's the range of possibilities for him next year?
Well, you start with, you know, he loves playing the infield, and that's evident. You know, he's got a passion for it. But, you know, he's open-minded to give him more versatility, and so he'll go down to instructional league and take some fly balls in the outfield and just see how comfortable he can be in developing the routes, developing the, you know, the different kind of approach you have to have in the outfield. And so he's going to, you know, get a taste of it. So then if come spring training we decide to do more of that, at least it won't be the first time he's been out there.
Boy, great. A lot to look forward to. I know I'll be down at the Fall League. I hope to see you there as well. I'm sure I will. And I don't know if we've ever done on our show, but do we know who's going down from the team for the Fall League?
Well, we've got Christian Arroyo as a shortstop, and Mac Williamson will go down there to play the outfield. And we've got Austin Slater,
right,
will go down and play more of a utility role. And we've got, you know, Alberto Mejia, who will get a chance to start some in the Fall League. He missed a lot of time this year for various reasons, but, you know, this will give him a chance to catch up on some innings. And we're still working on some additional bullpen arms, but it's a good opportunity for those guys down there. It's a great environment, great baseball, some tremendous talent that you face as well as you have on your own team, and it's great exposure. So it's a fun league to be a part of.
Do the Giants have a hitting coach or a pitching coach, manager? What other people may be going?
Yeah, we've got a trainer set to go. They rotate. So sometimes you get a coach, sometimes right. you get a trainer. This year we've got a trainer. We'll send additional coaching there to observe and to, even a Steve Decker will go down there and spend a little bit of time. Other coaches from our system will go through there just to check in and touch base. And, we may even have Touche, who is our San Jose pitching coach,
okay.
Have him go down and spend some time with our pitchers. So we'll keep guys flowing through there just to make sure we have good exposure and good hands on it for these guys.
Hey, Bobby, just last one for me is kind of a sappy one, but I'd like you to kind of share what Jeremy Affeldt's meant to this organization while you've been here and together and what he's meant to this franchise and how you'll feel maybe tomorrow as you see him hang him up.
Well, I don't think I could have the words to describe Jeremy Affeldt in terms of what he's been. I teased him that a few years ago that Madison Bumgarner agreed to a multi-year deal when he realized that it was going to be Affeldt's last year. And, of course, Jeremy then ultimately signed a three-year deal in the offseason. And so we joked about that because he's such a fun-loving guy in the clubhouse that guys love to jostle with him. And he keeps things light and fun. But he's also got, a great characteristic of leadership and a belief in developing leaders. And you see that in how he, participates in outside activities and charitable organizations. This guy's off the charts in so many different facets of his personality and style and leadership and what he has brought to the organization in terms of, the going back to being a part of three World Series, the contributions he made, a sub-1 ERA in the postseason. I don't think there's enough words to describe it. We're gonna miss.
Yeah, no, very, very well
Absolutely,
said. Of course,
yeah.
The ceremony tomorrow at 11:30. All right, as you look forward to the winter, excited, how do you feel about it? I mean, as fans, you sort of can't wait for all this stuff to start unfolding, and you're the lead guy. How do you feel about it?
Well, the worst part of the season is the last out of the last game because you go through withdrawals. I mean, you get up every morning looking. You don't even like off days sometimes because you want to see the game and. That's one of the benefits of the Fall League and, a chance to go down and see Instructional League. But I think from our standpoint, I look at it as an opportunity to assess ultimately our system, our development process, make staff decisions in the minor leagues and in our scouting department and really take a step back. I mean, this will be my first offseason in the GM role, so it gives me a chance to take a different look at it and what I have done before. So I'm excited about it. I wish it was a month later, but, I'm ready to get going.
Yeah, very good time. Good time. All right, appreciate having you on as always, and look forward to seeing you down in Arizona. And I thank you for coming on all the time and answering all these questions.
No, you got it, Marty. Good to talk to you, Pecan.
Hey, right on, Bobby.
All right, thanks, Bobby. Have a good day. All right, that is Bobby Evans, general manager. Always answers.
Come on now.